Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, welcome, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to Queen Vi's Reality Talk. I'm your host, Queen Vi, alongside my co-host, Mr. Hakanuba.
Hey, hey, hey. Peace, Queen. How you doing?
I'm doing good. I was having a little rough day, but now this show today got me live. Why? I mean, I got my glass of wine.
Oh, shit, now.
I'm telling you, Mother's Day, I had this book in my wine with my chocolate-covered strawberries. That was, like, my relaxer for the night for that. But So I got my wine, you know, because it's about to get ready.
What kind of interview you plan on having here today, lady? Got your liquor out and...
I'm just setting the mood and just relaxing and just about to enjoy all this conversation. The tea, the coffee, the wine, the shots. I might even have to pull out my Honey Jack and take a shot of that because it's about to be real.
Well, we have a special guest, and she is going to... lighten up our lives with this amazing book.
Yes.
Friend of the show, and, you know, she's been a frequent flyer here for the last, 2021. She's been around. Hell, we got to start charging her rent. Talking about author Nazia Adeyemi. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing good.
Hey, Vi, I got my glass of wine, too.
Oh, shit, I'm the only one here ain't going to be drunk. What the hell? I'm sipping ice water trying to be healthy.
This is about to be a healthy dose for the mental. I'm excited. I've read the book. Couldn't put it down. Like, I'm already telling people, like, listen, get this book so we can have this book club meeting. Because this is the type of books I like to discuss on book clubs. I mean, we could do a little...
So it meets your approval, huh, Vi?
Yes. I'm when I got to the last page, I was like, shit. What do I sign up for part two? Like, I need part two yesterday. How she just going to just do this to me? I thought she liked me. I thought we were cool. But okay.
Yes, I've gotten that response plenty of times. People call me, no, you're not going to end the book like that, are you?
I was like,
Yep. So, tell us. What do you got? Tell us what's going on, Ms. Nazia. What do you got going on out here? What are the people all hype about? I'm seeing a lot of great reviews. I'm seeing people excited about this thing you put out. What you put out?
Yes.
For the people that don't know.
I published my very first fiction novel. It's titled Sumaya's Secret, and it's about an African-American Muslim woman who was born and raised in Philadelphia. She was HBCU educated. And she struggled with her identity. She struggled to, please her family, but still trying to meet her own desires. And it was a battle. And so the whole book is about the twists and turns and the ups and downs of this struggle that she has until one day she just finally chooses. And you have to read the book to find out what she chooses.
Right. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying.
I can't wait to find out. Did she choose the straight and narrow path, or did she choose something that's a little more risque?
Her own truth. She living in her truth, living her life.
That's right. That's right. But she did. She choose to her own truth. That's right, Vi. That's exactly what it is.
Look. She well, sounds like she can relate a little bit. Let me find out.
I know, right? Was you over there rooting for Susu? Like, yeah, Susu.
I started protecting some of the stuff. I was like, this some of me. Like,
And that's the thing I like about it. I think everybody can relate, even though it's about an African-American Muslim woman. If you don't know anything about the religion of Islam, you still can relate to Sumaya. And so I think that's the one good thing about the book is that every woman, every man, anybody who has lived life can relate to the things that she's going through. So that's good. I'm glad you was like, wait a minute. Does she know my secrets?
I don't remember telling her that, but all right.
Well, Quinn, you ladies first. You got your first question for her?
Oh, wow.
You already know what part I want to get to, so.
Yeah, we know.
So, you know, okay, so when writing this book, see, I can't even get, like, I'm, it was so vivid, y'all. I'm just saying. These words jump off the pages into your imagination. And I'm just like, God, how would you able to contain yourself writing this? I'm just, I would have been taking a break every 10 minutes. Like, hold up.
It was some nights I got hot and heated on my own stuff. So trust and believe, it wasn't easy.
And that's my first question. Like, how did you? Because I was reading this, I was like, hold up. After certain scenes, I had to hold it.
Yeah.
I need another glass of wine. Matter of fact, you're gonna put a shot of Jack in that wine. You know it's real when you take some liquor with wine. I was like,
well, damn.
I know, right? It's serious.
Damn,
this thing's strong. I need something stronger.
Right.
Well, yeah. Tell us about your writing process. You know how what is it like to write a book like that? How the hell did you pull all of this stuff out of the air and form it into a whole world?
You know what's interesting is that this actually started. So for those who don't know, this is the first book is part of a trilogy. But it originally started as one book. And so I said, no, let me break it down. The writing process, I do have a writing ritual, you would say. You know, I have to have a quiet space, a hot cup of tea, and no interruptions, no distractions. I have to tell my family, listen, I'm writing for about an hour or so. Please don't interrupt me, because when you're in that writing zone and you're constantly writing, and the words are just coming to you, and then someone distracts you, and now you have to kind of switch gears and go be mommy and handle something. It's like, wait a minute, hold up. It's not easy just to switch gears like that coming out of that creative space. So I have to, like, let my family know I'm writing for the next hour or two. Please don't disturb me. I spent plenty of nights where I didn't get any sleep. I was up, because when things come to you, the things were coming to me in the middle of the night, and I would have to get up and grab my laptop and just write it out just to get it out of my head so that I can get some sleep. It was times where I was up until 5 in the morning because I'm being mommy all day, and this is the only time that I have where the house is quiet and I can write and not be disturbed. So it was a process. It was a process, and it's hard because when you're out at Walmart and you shopping and you like, you got an idea, you're like, oh, I got to write it down. I would grab my phone and go in my notes and jot it down real quick so I wouldn't forget it, because it's so easy to get back, and when you finally get settled, it's like, wait a minute, what was that? What did I say she was going to say? So it's got to jot it down in the moment. So it's funny because my family really sacrificed while I was writing, because it was things that I just couldn't do because I had to get the writing done. And I think someone asked me, how was I able to stay focused to get it accomplished? And my answer was, I just wanted it bad enough. I wanted, when my fingers typed the end, it was so many errors because I was so excited that it was over. Right? I had to go back and correct it. I was just so excited that I finally completed it. Like, wow, it's done. You know, it's accomplished. It's finished. The story is told. It's on paper. Let's go. So it was a process, but it was beautiful, and I'm so excited.
Well, you have every right to be. I know how hard you worked on it, and the do not disturbs and the and the leave me loans, and I mean it's
yes.
You definitely put the work in. And, Queen, you got a question? I don't want to.
Oh no, I mean I do want to congratulate you, Jen. You did your thing, this book. And I'm looking forward. I'm even more excited. You want to tell me that it's a trilogy. Like, you.
Yes, it is a trilogy.
Yeah, now I'm going to be like, oh, my God. But another thing is, I mean, I know you had to do some balancing. Like, what was your support system while doing this? And what made No, go ahead.
Everybody. Like, I have my oldest daughter will be 21 in July, so I have older kids and everybody, even Hakim, you know, being a manager, you know, talking to him, calling him, running things by him. You know, it was everybody. My whole support system is my family, and I really appreciate them being supportive, and my children are proud of me because now they see the finished product of all those, no, I can't right now, give me a moment. You know, they see the finished product of all of those things that I had to put on the back burner to complete this. So it was, I'm grateful for my support system. And like Hakim said, my phone was on do not disturb 99% of the time while I was writing. It's interesting because I see how major authors need to go to like an isolated place, like off in the woods somewhere with, you know, just the birds and nature to get a project done. I understand the need for that because it was rough. And my publisher said, you know, just don't become an alcoholic. And when she said that I had a bottle of Pink Whitney on the table, I said, too late. But it was definitely a process. So everybody, my whole family was my support system, and I'm grateful for all of them.
That is awesome. So what would you say was your, let's go from favorite to not so favorite part of the writing of this book? What part did you love and what part did you like, oh my God, that was rough?
The writing part, the creative part was my favorite part. Being able to develop these characters. As I'm writing as if I'm watching it as a movie. So that was fun because you tap into that fun aspect of being creative and creating these situations and scenarios, and it's like you have 100% control over what happens because you're creating it. The part that wasn't so fun, honestly, was the business aspect of it. you know, dealing with people that getting the cover done, the publishing, the editing, you know, that aspect of it wasn't fun. It wasn't. It was tedious. But, yeah, that answers your question.
No, it really did, because a lot of authors, they'll pretty much tell you it's because once you got your story in your head, you got the characters fleshed out in your mind, it's just letting it loose with the pen, right?
Mm-hmm, right.
But they all complain about the actual business end of it, the process of, you know, making a sausage, as they say. You don't want to know how that sausage made.
Yeah, nope. and even with everybody who's reading the book, excuse me, everybody who's reading the book, you know, they're saying, why do I have to wait, you know, for part two? It's like, well, wait, hold up, y'all. Let y'all realize I have to promote this book and then get to writing on the next book and then, again, go through the same process again with, you know, finding a cover. I went through so many different options for the cover and the details, you know, the font, you know, the description on the back. Everything was a decision that I had to make, and it was the intricate details that matter. And so it can become a little tedious, you know, like once I finished the transcript and I sent it over to the publisher, you know, it's in her hands now, but then she needs to contact me. And so I always had to be available for when she called me to make those important decisions. And that was rough because I could be in the middle of doing anything. And if she calls, I had to answer because it's probably an important decision that I have to make. And so I valued that because she didn't take full control. You know, she allowed me to have all the say-so in what happened and, you know, how things were transcribed. Even with the writing, you know, with the editing and the proofreading, it was some things that she probably would have changed. But if she changed it, it would have changed the nature of the character. And so just, even those small, intricate details that people don't think about goes into publishing a book. Can be very tedious. So after you get the story out, you know, after you've given it over to the publisher, you still have to make those important decisions that people don't pay attention to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The process, but well worth it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. So when you first decided to write your book, was you a little hesitant on how real and raw and, you know, that this book was going to be with your little hesitant effort?
Because it's about a Muslim woman. So that was a hesitation that I had because not many people really talk about the things that go on in the religion of Islam, like really, you know, like details, you know. You have all these shows about, like, you know, escaping Amish and returning to Amish and escaping polygamy and all these shows about those things, but no one really talks about the religion of Islam. So in having her be a Muslim woman and talking about some of the things that she encountered. Now, this book, I have you know, is, like, loosely based on real-life events. So some of these things actually happened to someone I know or ever to myself. Or, you know, so it's things that I know that have happened within the religion that I'm writing about. So I was afraid of that, too. My husband kept saying, you're going to need some muscle. You're going to need some protection. when they hear about, you know, I was like, I'm going to need some muscle. What you mean? You know, so it was those kind of things that really concerned me. And then with the explicit sex scenes, my publisher is actually a lady that I used to live with when I was 17 years old. And so for her to now see me as a grown woman and then read what I'm writing, I kind of felt shy. Like, I'm 40 years old, but I was kind of bashful that she was going to read my thoughts like that, you know? So it was a lot of hesitation. the hesitation on whether I wanted to finish or not, because this book actually came about as a distraction. I was initially supposed to write a book about my life, and about the trauma that I endured and generational trauma. And in writing that book and telling my story, you have to literally go back into that moment, and I realized that it was some areas that I hadn't healed yet. And so while working on those areas, I started writing this as a distraction, and it just ended up morphing into something, a story all by itself. And so that in itself is amazing because I never intended to write this book. It just came about as just something to get my mind off of the areas that I needed to heal from, you know, my unresolved childhood trauma.
Mm. Nice.
Yep. So let's talk about this BDSM stuff.
Wait a minute.
Yeah, we've done all that other stuff. Yeah, that was nice. That's nice.
Now all that's out the way. Let's get to the real stuff.
So, okay. So as I've been assisting with the promoting the book, I get a lot of people who've watched your video, and they say, well, this is about an Islam book. This is about – how would you classify this book? In regards to the people who may not know or seen any of the marketing for it, how would you want to sum it up in terms of the values? Because I tell everyone this is a little something for everybody.
It's a little bit of everything, right? Like, how do you sum it up? You know, you have the fact that she was born and raised Muslim. You have that aspect. It's some polyamory in it. It's some polygamy in it. It's BDSM. It's kink. It's some childhood trauma. You know, like, it's a little bit of everything.
Some of those things I fully understand. Yeah.
Something for everybody.
Because
one of the things I notice is that some folks, it's the secret part. And mm-hmm. I have people ask me, what's the secret? I'm like, go get the book.
Yeah,
so, right.
Go get the book.
Yeah, the secret is that Sumaya is full of secrets. And I said that in one of my videos. She's full of secrets. Like, everything about her life initially is a big-ass secret, you know? And it's not until the end, like Vi said, when she starts to live in her truth, that those secrets are revealed. But everything is a secret. You know, she's keeping a secret from her family. You know, her whole life is a secret. She's in a sense, she's living a double life. So everything is a secret. Everything. You know, it's like she's just like multi.
Everything is a secret. So go get this book. We not going to tell y'all not one secret. It is. Y'all just going to get the book. I'm just saying. Wait, tell them where they can find the book at real quick.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the book is available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. If you would like a signed copy, that's a direct sale through me. And you can find me on Instagram and Facebook, author Nazia Adeyemi, and there's a website, www.naziaadeyemi.com.
I encourage everybody to go get it, go read it, tell everybody else about it. This is Queen Va approved. I'm just saying. When you pick it up, you will not be able to put it down. I'm just saying. I was cooking dinner with it in the kitchen with me. So forget the TV. What show did I haven't even watched my shows? Because this was my show. This was my This was my movie. I would love to, and I'm doing this in the universe, I would love to see this in the form of a movie. I would love to see this book in the form of a movie.
I said that a few months ago. Wow, this is sound like a damn movie. And you know, that's the marking of a good writer, when the characters are so so powerful and they suck you in. your first thought is, damn, I could see this on some BET or, you know, maybe Lifetime might want to get a little involved, or, you know, we need
more
black
more,
women writing.
HBO Max, I'm thinking, you know.
Oh, yeah.
HBO Max, yes. Come on with the manifestation, y'all. Let's have it. What else?
There's some parts of that book you might get a little, you know, Playboy channel or some shit. I don't know,
but... right? After dark. It's always after dark.
Yeah. You know, remember what I said to, hey, you got good smut in it? Yep, sure do. Okay, good. Let's go.
Right, he did ask me that question. He said, ain't nothing like a good smut book.
Hey, look, it got to be, because you get your characters, you get your drama, you get the plot and the cliffhangers and all that, but that little cherry on the top is some good old BDSM and kinky stuff. That's how we do it.
Yeah.
All right.
This book will make you look, I'm talking like it's mine. This book will make you laugh, cry, excite you, mad. You want to go find somebody that pissed you off years ago and punch him in the face. I'm just saying. It's just this book.
Damn.
It's so many emotions. And
hold
it
up,
also,
ma'am.
You know, it's also a part in here that makes you kind of, if you've been through certain things, it kind of, it helps you face them, and it helps you realize, you know, what you felt wasn't wrong. You know, I'm just saying, it's therapeutic. It does it. So you're going to get all type of emotions of reading this book, and that's what a great book does. It takes you around. And I'm just saying, I'm not going to lie, I shed some tears with some of this with this book.
Well, Ms. Nazia, would you mind reading us a little bit so the people can get a little sample? And after that, we got a caller, so we'll get to you, caller. I see you pressed the number one. As soon as we get to that point in the show, we'll bring you in. You can make your comment. Okay. The floor is yours, Ms. Nazia.
All right. So this part of the book that I'm reading, Sumaya's older sister has a hair salon, and so she's going to the hair salon. They get together every now and again to meet in the hair salon. So this is the part that I'm reading. So it says, when I walked in, all of my sisters greeted me with, "Hey, Maymay," almost in unison. Y'all bitches must have been talking about me. I sat my purse down to remove my hijab. They all laughed, and Samira came over to me. When we trying to figure out who had the tea on this sit-down. Y'all so damn newsy, I laughed. It's always a good time when we all get together until Cruella DeVille opens her mouth to attack me. It never fails. Shana always has something to say about something I did or something I said or something I didn't do or something I didn't say. I heard about what you said to Umi. You're an evil bitch, Shana said pointingly. What did you say to Umi, Maymay? Sakina asked. I told Umi what I should have said years ago, but was always too damn scared to. Umi gave up on her dreams to make Abby happy. She always turned her back to whatever Abby and Uncle Salah Houdin did. Besides, Sana cut me off. Let me stop you right there. You're not going to sit here and talk about my mother when I watched her sacrifice for you because you wanted to go to college. Then you wanted to go away to college. Then you always trying to ruin Uncle Salah Houdin's image. He is a pillar in this community. You need to watch what you say out your mouth. Man, whatever. Y'all don't know half the stuff I know, or maybe y'all do. And just like Umi, y'all turned a blind eye for the sake of the family and the community. Y'all get on my nerves with that shit. That's what's wrong with the black families and communities now. We keep our mouths shut and our heads down. This don't say nothing motto has destroyed generations. It has to stop somewhere. Everyone got quiet, and the room remained silent for a few minutes until Habiba burped loudly. A few of the women snickered. Excuse me, y'all, it's the baby, Habiba said. Girl, you blame everything on that baby, Sakina said. At that, everyone broke out into laughter.
Laughing was like therapy for us. Whenever we had heated discussions, someone would say or do something that would make us laugh, and almost instantly we forget about what we were about to kill each other over.
Yep. And the thing is, since I read the book, I'm playing it word for word when she what she's reading it. Or oh, my lady. Like I'm saying.
Yeah, I heard a bunch of teeth sucking. I start smelling hairspray and damn.
Right.
Just,
you're almost in the hair salon going down, right?
Yeah, right. I was waiting for the knuckles and the claws and the fingernails popping off, and you know, hair, you know, patches of edges getting snatched off. Now, how important is
Say it again. Go ahead, Queen. No, I said I just liked the scenes like that in the book because it, you know, you really touch base on certain relationships with the family, not just outsiders, but the actual family and traditions and stuff they did. But go ahead, Hakim.
Yeah, I agree. I wanted to pick her brain a little bit of the importance of having those real life interactions, because we can go in any hair salon and might bump into something like that.
Right.
How important is it to you as the writer to put that in, to paint these pictures for the viewer, the reader?
It's very important, because if you want the reader, like as an author, a good author, you want to take the reader on a journey. You want the reader to feel all of those emotions that Vi was talking about. You want the reader to be able to identify and relate and look at themselves or someone they know. You want them to be able to put a face to a character and say, that sounds like somebody I know, or be able to envision the scene. So it's very important to make it relatable to your audience. It's it can make or break a book, in my opinion.
Gotcha. All right. Y'all ready to take this first caller?
Yes.
All right. Welcome, caller. Welcome to the show.
Oh, you guys can hear me. Hi, everybody. Hello.
Hi.
Thank you for having me. This is Crystal, a friend of Demi, and I am just, like, super-duper proud of her. So I just wanted to hop on real quick to tell you all how amazing she is, but you already know that. listening to her read some of the passages from the book, I'm over here like, because I'm not that far yet. But what I have read so far is just like, oh, my goodness. And it's just like what I've read so far is just amazing. Another friend of ours read the book in 5 hours. So it's just like this whole process, you know, when I first met you and talking about, you know, writing a book about your own story and then how this other book develops through all of that, like watching this entire journey has just been so amazing. Like we are so, so, so proud of you. Like, I can't even tell you all enough how proud of her we are. Like, this is really amazing. And for her to be able to tell her story, you know, eventually it's all going to come out. But, you know, just for her to be able to tell you all the things that she's, you know, putting out a little bit here in this book, you know, it's just mind-blowing. Like, it was very much needed in this community. And I do agree, a lot of times, you know, growing up, we are taught, you know, don't talk about this, don't talk about that. You know, we all have one weird family member that, you know, no one goes around or stays all the time. And, you know, we're never, ever told why until we're, like, grown up and you find out that, like, Uncle Harry was, like, a crazy person.
right.
So, you know, I don't want to take up too much time, but this book was definitely much needed. And I haven't even finished the book yet. Just listening to you all is, like, I can't wait to finish now. So I just wanted to hop on real quick and just say, well, I love you, and I'm very proud of you, and I just encourage everybody to just get this book and stay plugged in, because parts 2 and 3 is coming. We getting a movie. Like, we going all in on this book. We going all the way
in. Oh, thank you so much, Crystal. I love you, too. I really appreciate that. Thank you.
You're quite welcome. It is very, very, very well deserved. We are very proud of you.
Thank you. Oh, I'm about to cry.
You better not. We're going to cry after we knock this book deal out and get these movie rights. Then we're going to cry.
You know, that's right.
Definitely appreciate you calling in. We're going to get back to the interview. We're going to put, you don't have to hang up. We're going to put you on mute so you can continue to listen. But okay. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Yeah. And sometimes you got to hear stuff like that. Like when you put time, energy, and a lot of work into something, you like to hear, you know, the good that it's doing or how proud people are of you. Like I was. And all the blessings that's coming from this, you deserve. And I see great things in your future when it comes to you being an author. And so
you have a
fan of me, and I'm gonna be waiting.
Patient. I do.
So, tell us about the different dynamics. How do you balance it? And I'm asking the question. I have a few people who are in the middle of working on their books who are listening to this. So they're
mm-hmm.
you know, this is also a teachable moment for people.
Mm-hmm.
Balancing it's like balancing the fiction, the stuff that actually happened, the kink, the BDSM, the Islam, and all the different components that make this book. What could you tell someone who's just getting started about how to balance it so it's even?
That was another, I guess you could say, challenging part, if you will, because I was advised by someone to just write initially. So I actually have, it's so funny, if you were to look at my laptop, you would crack up laughing because it's almost like three different documents. Because I had to go back and correct some things and change some things. And, you know, sometimes if there's a time lapse in between your writing, you may forget what you wrote before and you have to go back and read the book again to figure where you left off. And so, you know, it's about, to answer your question about the balance, it's about telling the story. Ask yourself the questions of, how do you want to tell the story? How do you want this story to be played out? Who is your audience? Who are you talking to? Even though other people who are outside of your audience may read the book, you still want to always keep your audience in mind when writing. And so with the balance, you just write. Just tell your story. Get it out. And then don't worry about grammatical errors. Don't worry about sentence structure. That's what you pay an editor for. Just write. Right, and if something doesn't feel right, you know, follow your gut. Go back and change it. You know, if you would say it differently or you want the character to say it differently because you're writing and you're creating and developing these characters, and these characters have personalities. And so you want to stay true to the personality. And so, like, if for instance, I'll give you a little sneak peek in the second part. Is that okay?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
All right, so
sure.
so look, she's like, yeah, go ahead. So the second part is the second book is going to be called Rukaya's Regret. So Vi, you read the book, so you know who Rukaya is, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the second book is going to be called Rukaya's Regret. Rukaya has a best friend named Hafiza, and Hafiza is the ghetto, runaway hood Muslim chick that everybody know. She's the one wearing Kimar and Timberlands with the bamboo earrings, and she like, fuck out of here. She like, sign late gum. See that, sister? So you got to, you know, stay true to the character. So whenever you read about something Hafiza says, you can almost see her. You can envision her because she's the runaway Muslim chick. You know what I mean? The story is based in Philly, so everybody knows a sister like Hafiza. So with writing, you just want to stay true to the character. You know, in Sumaya's Secret, when you read about Rukaya, which is very brief, she appears to be a very humble, you know, pious, devout Muslim, right? But then in Rukaya's Regret, you're going to hear about her backstory and where she came from and some of the things that she's struggling with and how everything, you know, unfolds with her life from her perspective. And so just my advice is just stay true to the character and see the character. You have to, if you can't envision the character, then your readers aren't going to envision it. So you have to see it. What does she look like? What does she smell like? How is her haircut? You know, when it comes to the brothers, is he tall? Is he short? Is he bald head? Does he have curly hair? You have to envision the character and create their personality and stay true to it.
I'm glad you said that. It's all about the continuity. He can't be, you know, balding in part one, but part two, he got locks.
Right.
So he go from George Jefferson to you know. So I it's important for all you new writers out there. I hope you're paying attention, because it's some of the things that you're telling me you're struggling with, she's lived it, she's been through it, and you know, she's here because of the hard work and the sweat and the stress.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. What you got, Queen?
Okay. Let's see. Let's see. I know she wanted to read a little bit more of the book.
I don't know. Is my daddy listening? Is my daddy listening? I can't read this part of the book.
Dad, if you're listening, please.
Just hang up.
We love
you. Yeah. 5 minutes and you can, 5-6 minutes, you can come back.
Yeah. Close your ears.
Turn the volume all the way down.
Well, yes, please.
But hey,
listen, you know, we've been known to get a little weird on this show from time to time, being us all wholesome and everything and family oriented on this show. You know, we're gonna let our hair down a little bit, and please enchant us with some of the fun stuff.
Oh my goodness. Okay, so for the Queen Vi Talk listeners, you know, a little bit of piece of the background with Sumaya. So Sumaya meets this man. And, you know, his name is Jerome Whittington. Remember that name, because to Sumaya, he is everything. And she feels this pull towards him that she really can't explain. And they have an encounter. And so I'm going to read a little piece of that encounter. All right? So Mr. Whittington asks her, "Do you have any fantasies?" He asks. "Sure, I have tons of fantasies, but I've never been comfortable talking about them with anyone. It always felt like my little secret," I replied. "But by this time we had finished dinner and I was hoping to be dessert. As he walked to the car, he reached for my hand as if we were a couple. PDA was definitely a good sign. Once we were in the car, my sexual drive was on full tilt. I think it was a combination of the wine and the intense conversation. I began to shift in my seat a few times. Jerome noticed. If no one was around, if it were just you and I right now, what would you want to happen? Licking my lips, looking at him, I said, I will want to suck your dick. He looked at me and said, so what's stopping you? I looked at the driver, then looked back at Jerome. He is not worried about us. Being free is living life without limitations, understanding that the only limits you have are in your mind. If you want to suck my dick, then suck my dick," he responds. He thinks he's a philosopher, but it made perfect sense. I have to learn to stop living my life like I'm constantly under a microscope. So I slid out of my seat onto my knees, positioned myself in front of him. He opened his legs to make room for me. I unzipped his pants, and lo and behold, he had on boxer briefs. I could see his large dick throbbing inside of them. I removed his dick from the boxer briefs with my hands, moved my head closer to his lap, opened my mouth, and began sucking his dick. Even his dick smelled good, and it fit perfectly in my mouth. I massaged the base of it with my right hand, licked and sucked the tip with my mouth. I felt his dick growing larger and larger inside my mouth.
This increased my desire, wanting him more and more. I shoved more of his dick further down my throat with each motion. He began to moan, grabbing my ponytail. He controlled my strokes, helping to bring him to climax. By this time, my pussy was soaking wet, dripping down my legs. He held my head on the side and said, "I'm going to make you a good slut." Just then, he released in my mouth. I swallowed every drop.
Girl.
Yes. 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 You know, that happens to be one of my favorite parts of the book. So.
Bye, you got some wine left.
Barely. And I was turned to the page with you. Like, that's a shame I was able to find that scene so fast. That don't make no sense.
Right?
Yeah.
Bye, we got markers in the book.
Listen, I'm telling you.
Whew. Well, that's just a sample of the, you know. So I guess the big question is, where did you get that from? Where you pull that from? But see, that's the fantasy play, the psychological fantasy. How important was it to put that part of it in it? Because anybody could just say, "Hey, come suck my dick," but it was more to it than just that. Could you?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It was very important because I wanted the readers to see the struggle that she was having with stepping into herself. It wasn't about Jerome. It wasn't about Jerome. It was about her. It was about Sumaya being free and tapping into her own sexuality. So many of us as women, society has made sex a very nasty and perverted thing. And a lot of women have sexual desires that we feel as though we can't speak about because we're looked down upon as if we're hoes and sluts. And sometimes it's okay to be a slut. You got to be a slut with the right person. You know, so it was very important to depict her character. And in the early part of the book, you know, you see that she has this one life. And then with him, she doesn't understand. And she has this tug of war about why she feels this pulse with him and why he gets her to do things that she normally wouldn't do in a normal situation. And so you get to witness the tug of war. And when I tell you, it really takes you on the journey with her. You really go on this journey with her as she's juggling, like, what am I supposed to do? You know, I have this over here, but this man, he keeps, you know, I don't understand why I feel this when I'm around him. And so it was very important to be that descriptive in order to take the reader on the ride.
Because that you did.
Listen, that's the mouthest, the mouth part of the book when it comes to the sex scene. That's the mouth.
Yeah, it gets a little bit more explicit.
Oh, yes, indeed. It's okay to be a slut.
Right.
Yeah, that sounds vaguely familiar. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, hey, look here, man. So you ladies at home, you know, get yourself a Jerome.
For you more submissive women out there. But.
Yeah. Damn it, Vibe, we're going to get you a Jerome.
Yeah. No, Jerome was making me proud. He was making me proud. Jerome. He's making me proud. I'm like, that's how it's supposed to be.
See, look, Val want to rewrite the book and have Jerome, you know, be a woman and shit and
uh-huh.
Grab, get your ass over here.
Well, don't forget, it's three parts to the book, y'all. So we got, yep. I got you. I got you, queen. I got you, sis.
Oh, man.
He was making me around. Every time he showed up, he showed out.
Mm-hmm.
He did not
deceive. Yes, he is the epitome of a narcissistic daddy dom.
Yes, he is. Hey, look, Rome pretty close to Tyrone, ain't it? Hey, I won't, you know, ain't saying much.
You
okay.
Said that, right?
You know. But, yeah, that's so, I'm sorry, Queen, you got a question? Because I can go on all day. I look at here, we're in my wheelhouse now.
Yeah, right.
Shit. Start talking
no
that talk.
I'm just taking it all in. Taking it all in.
So, excuse me, the BDSM side of it, how did you balance that part out? Was there ever a point where you said, hey, I don't want to go too hard, but I got to make this point. I got to show the control that he has.
Yeah, and it's interesting because I actually had, if I could be really candid, I had a little battle with my editor.
Mm-hmm.
About it, because my editor is, you know, is a wholesome, good woman. You know, she was like,
mm-hmm.
This is not a part. This is contradictory to her character. I said, exactly. That's the point. It's supposed to be contradictory to her character.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, it was. It was some struggle. It was some struggle. You know, because I didn't want to offend. The lifestylers, I didn't want to offend the community. I didn't want to be a disgrace. Like, what the hell is she talking about? You know, I didn't want to offend, but I did want to bring that lifestyle to the light. Because if I could have a platform to bring some normalcy to that lifestyle, I definitely would. Because I'm all for polyamory. I'm all for BDSM kink. If that's what you want to do, then be the best at it. Like, and just do it with consensual adults. You know, but
yeah.
At the same time, you know, I'm all for it. I'm all for women expressing themselves sexually and not looking down upon it, because we have some desires. You know, how many women want to have two men and want to go to their husbands and say, you know what, I would like to have another male partner. It's okay, and this has been my argument for years. It's okay when your man comes to you and tell you he wants another wife or he wants a girlfriend. And if you like girls, if you're bisexual, and you know you want a girlfriend, and he's in his world. But when you, as a woman, go to your man and say, "I want another man, but I want you too," all hell break loose because their egos can't handle it. You know, it should be as normalized as a man wanting more than one woman. Because we want to, shoot, hot vibe. Don't you want more than one dick? Like, let's tell the truth.
What I want, when I want, and I won't be questioned about it. Just do what I say when I say it, how I say it, and that's it.
Oh, God.
That's it, and that's all. You know, so I'm all for that. Even female-led relationships, I'm starting to learn more about that as well. So, yeah, I'm all for anything that allows you to be in your truth. I want to live a life without limitations, and whatever that looks like for me, it might look different for someone else. But if you want to live your life without limitations, then do that. So that's part of my writing, is to show women that you don't have to. You can be an empowered woman and still have a sexuality. There's nothing wrong. Why are we looked down upon because we have a sexuality?
Mm-hmm.
Men like us for our sexuality, but when we express our sexuality, now we hoes and sluts and all that other kind of stuff, right? So
we only want you to look down at us at one moment. That's it. When we down there, you look down. Other than
right.
that.
Only time you look down on me
so
is
when
I'm down there.
So wait a minute, though. He can't look up to make no eye contact. He got to keep his damn violent kind of chip on over there. I mean, Don't look at me when you're down there. Just look down.
No, I said we down there. You can look down at us.
Oh, okay. Woo, I thought your poor slaves can't even look up at you when they got a face full of cheeks. Okay.
No.
All right.
Hard to look up then. Yes.
Oh, man, oh, man.
So we're getting a little off track here. This isn't about me at all.
Uh-huh. Coming soon, The Book of Vi. How to Be
right,
a Slave,
right.
Part 1. Oh, man. Well, this has been a pleasure. We got a comment here from Lady Divine. Lady Ren Divine, she says she loves this. Congrats, Nazi Adeyemi. Cat, here they come. Here come the weirdos. Got one from Cat Collins. Hey, you did not offend us. And yes, women deserve 2 dicks, 3 even.
Yeah.
Men can juggle pussy. We should be able to juggle dick without being accused of being all kinds of derogatory names.
Exactly.
Continue on the
yeah.
conversation. I'm loving it.
Thank you. Thank you.
And we also have.
That's it. That's all it could be. That's
yes.
It.
And we have Tish Banks saying she's loving how this book sounds. She's going to replay that dick sucking scene 15 times on the playback. Continue the great work. She'll be buying a book.
Thank you.
Zio Styles. It says the book sounds very interesting. Where can it be purchased? It's your
it
chance
can be
to
purchased
plug.
On Amazon.com and Barnes and Noble as well.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And we got Karima from Southwest and said, just listening to that, I think I need to change my panties. I got to get this book.
Oh.
I told you they were coming. And our good friend Malik says he's going to order a couple and send them upstate. The brothers need that work. So there you go.
Wow.
It's funny because I thought that same thing. I thought this is a kill upstate, boy.
You did.
We talked about
state.
That. Yeah, addition upstate. That's where that money at. So,
thank you so much, y'all.
Yeah, I mean, we got about you can plug everything that you got going on. We got about 30 seconds for you, and then we're going to close out.
All right, so you can find me on social media, Instagram and Facebook, author Nazia Adeyemi. My website is www.naziaadeyemi.com. You can purchase the book from there. When you go on the website, there's a link that says buy now. It'll take you directly to Amazon. And the book is also available on Barnes & Noble and all reading platforms. It's also available on Goodreads and any other online reading platform. And its title is Sumeya's Secret, and it is the first part of a trilogy, so look out for part 2. It's going to be called Rukaya's Regrets, so look out for that. The trilogy is called Secrets, Regrets, and Revenge.
Okay.
All right, Queen. I got to go get a hold of myself after listening to this show. Let's go.
I am here for it. Once again, congratulations. I am proud of you people. Get the book. You will not be disappointed. You know a book is good when you pick it up and you can't put it down. And everything you're supposed to be doing on your day-to-day, you grabbing this book and you taking it with you. I mean, I was cooking taking the book. I was supposed to be watching TV, but I was reading this book. I love it. I can't wait for part 2. Can't wait to have you back on as well. You can always tag the show with any of promotions for anything. I'm loving everything that you're doing with yourself. The true meaning of an entrepreneur. Women empower me.
If y'all only knew the work, the skill, and how well she adapted to the marketing. And if I had 5 more of her, I'd be rich. All right, Queen. All right, Ms. Nazi, it's been a pleasure.
Yes, sir.
Everyone have a great night.
Good night, y'all.
Till next time, good night, everybody.
Peace, y'all.